so that I can fight with your messenger. But if there is no fighting with Quraysh left, then let me die through this injury. And O Allah, don't let me die until you please my eyes with Banu Qurayza. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh is saying, if there's any fighting with Quraysh left, let me live. Because he was the leader of Al-Ansar, and he wanted to make sure that he doesn't die until he has given Rasulullah ﷺ victory against Quraysh. That was their agreement. If the fighting with Quraysh is over, then oh Allah, allow me to die. And then he wanted his eyes to be pleased with Banu Qurayza. And we'll see what that means. So, Banu Qurayza now have agreed that whatever Sa'd judges among them, they will accept it. Sa'd is injured, so they are carrying him on a stretcher and bringing him into Rasulullah ﷺ. And Sa'd is flanked on both sides by the leaders of Al-Aws. And they are telling him, أحسن في موالينا, أحسن في موالينا. Treat our allies well. Treat our allies well. Treat our allies well. Because, you know, they're seeing what Al-Khazraj did, and there's competition between Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. Al-Khazraj were successful in pleading the clemency of Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Nadir. Both of them were spared. So Al-Aws, they want the same to happen to their allies, to their Jewish allies. And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh is quiet. And then he responded by saying, قَدْ آنَ لِسَعْدْ أَلَّا تَأْخُذَهُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَ تَلَعَمْ. It's about time for Sa'd not to fear the blame of the blamers in the sake of Allah. Some of the men just walked away and went back to their homes and said, we offer our condolences to Banu Qurayza. That's it, they're dead. So Sa'd is carried on the stretcher and he's brought in. Sa'd was a leader. He was and a very strong personality, and he was a man that had this dignity and presence. So when he was brought in on the stretcher and everybody was sitting, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قُومُوا لِسَيِّدِكُمْ. Stand up for your leader. Now this is the first time ever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam orders somebody to stand up for someone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in fact, has not allowed the Sahaba to stand up for him. But when Sa'd was brought in, he said, stand up. So they stood up, and then Sa'd was placed on a stretcher, and the leaders of Banu Qurayza on one side, and Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba on the other side. And Sa'd is in the middle. So Rasulullah ﷺ is telling Sa'd, judge among them, O Sa'd. Sa'd, he looks at Banu Qurayza and he says, do you all accept my judgment on you? They said yes. And then out of respect, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh does not look towards Rasulullah ﷺ, but he just points with his hand and says, and do you accept my judgment? Because Sa'd saw it, he didn't feel it appropriate to look at Rasulullah and say, do you accept my judgment? So he said, وَعَلَى مَنْ هَاهُنَا. And the ones here, do they accept my judgment? Rasulullah ﷺ said yes. Sa'd said, فَإِنَّ حُكْمِي فِيهِمْ. My judgment among them is that all of their male fighting men should be executed, and all of their women and children are taken into captivity and enslaved, and all of their wealth is taken as booty for the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَقَدْ حَكَمْتَ فِيهِمْ بِحُكْمِ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَوْقِ سَبْعِ سَمَوَاتٍ. You have judged among them by the judgment of Allah from on top seven heavens. This is the judgment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered a trench to be dug in the marketplace in Medina. And then the men of Banu Qurayza are brought in loads of 10. And were executed, and the executioner was Ali ibn Abi Talib, and when he gets tired, Az-Zubair bin Awwam. They would execute all of the ones who are above the age of puberty, and the way they would figure that out is they would uncover them and see if they have grown any pubic hair. Anyone who has grown pubic hair was executed. And they would bring them on top of this trench and execute them and throw them in it. Execute and throw them in it. Imagine Ali and Zubair executed 700 to 900 men. 700 to 900 men were executed by Ali ibn Abi Talib and Zubair bin Awwam. And all of their property was taken over. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh Rasulullah ordered that a tent be set for him in the masjid, and he be attended to in the masjid. And there was another tent close to him set by some visitors to Medina from Ghifar. They had their tent. Suddenly when they were in their tent, they saw this blood streaming into their tent. They said, "What is this?" And they went to see the injury of Sa'd exploded. And he was bleeding and he died. So Allah Azza wa Jal has fulfilled his dua. He did not die until his eyes were pleased by the fate of Banu Qurayza. And he died because there was no more fighting with Quraysh. Al-Khandaq was the last battle with Quraysh. There was no fighting after that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَقَدْ اِهْتَزَّ عَرْشُ الرَّحْمَنِ لِمَوْتِ سَعْدِ بْنُ مُعَاذِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal shook when Sa'd ibn Mu'adh died. The throne of Allah moved when Sa'd ibn Mu'adh died. Some of the scholars say because the angels loved him so much. The angels who were carrying the throne of Allah, when they heard the news that Sa'd died, they moved. So the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal on top of them moved. It is interesting to notice that the most controversial issues in Islam, the issues that are attacked by the Orientalists the most, happen to be issues that weren't instigated by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but came directly from Allah azza wa jalla. The marriage of Rasulullah to Aisha, which is the marriage that is attacked by the kuffar. How can your Prophet marry a girl who's 6 years old? That was a marriage that wasn't initiated by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibreel came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream, and this is in Bukhari, and said, "Hadhihi zawjatuk, this is your wife." And he sees that dream for 3 consecutive nights. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In yakun fihi khair, yumdihi Allah." If there's any good in it, Allah will make it happen. The execution of Banu Qurayza, all of them. This was the end of a tribe. Just imagine, a tribe was exterminated. This was a command that came from Allah azza wa jalla. Allah Azza wa Jal was the one who pleased Allah Azza wa Jal. That command pleased Allah Azza wa Jal. The marriage of Rasulullah to Zainab, which is causing a lot of controversy also in Orientalist circles. This was a command of Allah. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطْرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. So you find that these issues are actually issues that are coming from Allah Azza wa Jal directly. Therefore, when we are debating or discussing with the non-believers, we should not try to prove to them the validity of each and every point in Islam. The issue is not that. The issue is not whether you agree with the marriage of Rasulullah ﷺ to Aisha or not. The issue is not whether you agree with what Rasulullah ﷺ did to Banu Qurayza or not. The issue is, do you accept that Quran is the word of Allah or not? Do you accept that Muhammad ﷺ is the messenger of Allah or not? If you do accept that, everything else will fall in place. We don't have to argue about the details anymore. Because if you agree that Qur'an is the word of Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah, you're going to accept everything that they do. So let's not waste our time discussing these side issues, because there's an endless number of them. And let's focus on the prime issues, and that is that Qur'an is the book of Allah. They are only choosing these issues not because it is causing them to stay away from Islam. It is because they feel that these are the best vehicles to attack the religion. It's not that if you convince them about it, they're going to become Muslim. That's not the case. They have a more critical problem, and that is they disagree with Qur'an being the word of Allah, and they disagree with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the messenger of Allah. So these are the issues that need to be discussed. I was reading a book by one talib ilm from Palestine, and a student of knowledge. It's called the Path Towards Jerusalem. And he mentions in it a strange fatwa. It's quite, kind of funny when I read it. He said that killing the Jews is sunnah mu'akkada. I mean, how would one derive such a hukm? Killing the Jews is sunnah mu'akkada. But he got it from the Ghazwa Banu Qurayza. He said that in all of the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all of the battles, if you look at the number of Jews that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam killed, they are more than in Banu Qurayza. They are more than the combined number of the casualties of every other Ghazwa of Rasulullah. In Banu Qurayza alone, 900. And that is more than the combined number of casualties in all of the Ghazwat and Saraya of Rasulullah ﷺ combined. Allah alam. But yani I would disagree with turning it into a hukm, saying it's sunnah muakkada, fard kifaya, fard ayn. Yani it's not. It's part of jihad fi sabilillah. You don't make a hukm on it. 19. Banu Lahyan. It occurred in Rabi' al-Awwal, 6th year of Hijrah. Banu Lahyan are the ones who killed the 70 scholars of Quran who were sent to teach them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to take revenge for them. Banu Lahyan ran away, so no fighting occurred. Number 20, Dhu Qird. It occurred in 6th year of Hijrah, according to Ibn Ishaq. However, Bukhari and Muslim state it occurred in the beginning of the 7th year of Hijrah. And this is the Ghazwa that occurred because of the single man army of Salama. And we already read the story of Salama bil Akwa. I am the son of Al-Akwa, and today is the day of defeat for the mean. Take it, and I'm the son of Al-Akwa. So he says, are you the Akwa who's been following us since the morning? He says, yes, it's me. Are you the Akwa following us in the morning? And then he dies. Those were your last words. 24, the opening of Mecca. It occurred in Ramadan, the 8th year of Hijrah. Rasulullah ﷺ entered Mecca with an army of 12,000. Ibn Nahas, in terms of his numbers, it's actually 10,000, not 12,000. I wonder if in his book it says 12,000, or maybe I made a mistake. But it's actually 10,000, not 12. It even mentions in the Bible about these 10,000. And he enters with 10,000 saints. 10,000 saints. These are the Sahaba who entered with him, Mecca. On that day he announced clemency for the people of Quraysh who had fought him for over 20 years. I didn't mention it, huh? Okay. Oh, we missed Banu al-Mustalaq and al-Hudaybiyah and Khaybar. Yeah, 21, Banu al-Mustalaq. 21, Banu al-Mustalaq. Ibn Ishaq claims that it occurred in the 6th year of Hijrah. The head of the tribe, Al-Harith bin Abi Durar, was forming an army to fight the Muslims. Rasulullah ﷺ attacked them. They lived on the coast of the Red Sea. They exchanged arrows for a while before the Muslims charged and defeated them. Some were killed while others were taken as prisoners, and the Muslims won a large booty of sheep and camels. Rasulullah ﷺ married Juwayriyah, the daughter of their leader, Al-Harith. 22, Al-Hudaybiyah. It was in Dhul-Qa'dah, 6th of Hijrah. Rasulullah ﷺ headed for Umrah with 1,400 of his Sahaba. Now these 1,400 are very special because Allah Azza wa Jal revealed an ayah about them. So they went out with no intention of fighting. However, the people of Quraysh refused to allow him access to Mecca. He sent to them Uthman ibn Affan to negotiate with them. A false rumor reached the Messenger of Allah that Uthman was killed. Rasulullah went out with the intention of Umrah. So they went in Ihram. And they went with Al-Hadi, the sheep. They get there, Quraysh say, no way we're going to allow him in. They refuse to allow the Muslims access. So Rasulullah is negotiating with them. He told Umar to go to Mecca. Umar said, oh Rasulullah, there's none of Banu Uday left in Mecca to protect me. So why don't you send Uthman, because his family are strong in Mecca. Uthman is from Banu Umayyah, and this is a strong family in Quraysh. So Uthman goes to Mecca, but he was delayed in coming back. So a rumor spread that he was actually killed. A rumor was spread that Uthman ibn Affan was killed. Rasulullah ﷺ sits under a tree, under a sidr tree, and he takes the pledge of allegiance from these 1,400. And what was the pledge of allegiance? To die. That was tabayana al-maut. We pledged to die. Uthman ibn Affan, because he was in Mecca, he wasn't present. So, for example, the Shia, they say, Uthman wasn't there at Badr. Uthman wasn't there at Bay'ah. Where was he? When it comes to Badr, Uthman ibn Affan was ordered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay behind, because his wife, Ruqayyah, the daughter of Rasulullah ﷺ, was ill. So Rasulullah told them to stay behind. But Uthman is counted as one of al-Badriyin. He's counted as one of the ones who attended Badr because he received a share in the booty of Badr. In Bay'at al-Ridwan, he wasn't there because the whole purpose of the Bay'ah was for him. So Rasulullah ﷺ, because Uthman wasn't present, Rasulullah ﷺ put his hands together and said, and this pledge is for Uthman. So Rasulullah ﷺ represented Uthman in his pledge. It's much better than Uthman doing it for himself. The ayah that was revealed, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah is pleased with the believers who give you the pledge of allegiance under the tree. 1400. These are the ones whom Allah witnessed, declared that He is pleased with. Eventually, after long negotiations, a truce was signed between Rasulullah ﷺ and Quraysh. The one who represented the people of Quraysh in the negotiations was Suhail bin Amr. And you know the terms of the agreement of Hudaybiyah, that they stop fighting, and whoever comes from Mecca to Medina has returned, and whoever goes from Medina to Mecca has not returned. Whoever enters into the alliance of Muhammad is accepted, and whoever enters into the alliance of Quraysh is also accepted. When they were writing the terms of the agreement, Rasulullah ﷺ is spelling out the terms, and Suhail ibn and Ali is writing, and Suhail ibn Amr is representing Quraysh. So Rasulullah ﷺ told Ali to write. He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Suhail said, stop. We don't know who ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is. Write Bismik Allahum, in the name of Allah. We don't know ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Rasulullah ﷺ told Ali to change it. And then he told Ali to write, هَذَا مَا صَالَحَ عَلَيْهِ مُحَمَّدْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Suhail ibn Amr. This is an agreement between Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, and Suhail ibn Amr. Suhail said, if we agree that you're the Messenger of Allah, we wouldn't be negotiating with you in the first place. So he said, change it and write your name and the name of your father. So Rasulullah told Ali to erase it, Ali refused. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, show it to me. And he showed it to me, and Rasulullah wiped it with his hand. So that was Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. The negotiations took time because the people of Quraysh were sending one after another to negotiate with Rasulullah. One of the men whom they sent was Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. They sent him to negotiate with Rasulullah ﷺ. And they didn't reach an agreement. Abu Bakr said, people are short-sighted. They didn't realize the wisdom behind Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Because, you know, Umar was not happy with the terms. He said, why don't we fight them? Abu Bakr said, this is the Messenger of Allah and he knows better. So Abu Bakr is commenting on this a while later. He's saying, people are short-sighted. They don't see the wisdom behind Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Allah has His Qadr, and His Qadr takes its time. But the people hasten. He said, I've seen Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi 1 year later, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hajj. He said, I saw Urwa bin Mas'ud. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shaving his head, I saw Urwa bin Mas'ud going down on his knees, picking up the clippings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and putting them on his eyes to get the blessing from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after 1 year. Urwa bin Mas'ud al-Thaqafi, who was negotiating with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and did not reach an agreement with him, after 1 year he's going down on his knees to get the blessing of the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Hudaybiyah was one of the greatest openings in Islam. Khaybar 23. This was the last Jewish community in the Arabian Peninsula. After the return of Rasulullah ﷺ from Hudaybiyah, he stayed in Medina, Dhul Hijjah, and part of Muharram, and then marched towards the last community of Jews living in Hijaz, Khaybar. Khaybar was made of a few strong fortresses. When the Muslims arrived there, the Jewish king, Marhab, came out asking for a duel. Amr bin Akwa, the brother of Salama bin Akwa, went out to face him. Marhab struck Amr and his sword got stuck in Amr's shield. In the same time, Amr hit himself with his own sword and died. Amr had a short sword. So when he went to stab Marhab, it came back and it hit him on the kneecap and he ended up killing himself. Now, Salama, his brother, heard some of the Sahaba saying that Amr has lost all of his deeds since he killed himself. So he went to the Messenger of Allah crying and he said, "Did my brother lose all of his deeds?" Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Who said that?" He said, "Some of your companions." Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "No, they are wrong. Your brother gets double the reward." Now after Marhab killed Amr, he asked for another challenge. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Who would go out to this man?" Muhammad ibn Maslama said, "I would. I am the angry avenger. Marhab killed my brother yesterday." Amr was his relative. The Messenger of Allah said, "Then go. May Allah help you against him." When Muhammad met with Marhab, a tree came in their way. So now Marhab and Muhammad ibn Maslama are revolving around this tree. And every time they would try to make a strike, it would hit the tree. So Ibn Nahas says, when Muhammad met with Marhab, a tree came in their way, and each one of them would use it to seek protection from the other's strike. And with every strike, some of its branches and leaves would be cut until none of them were left. You know, they're fighting around this tree and revolving, and they're cutting down the branches until all what you're left with is a trunk. Then Marhab charged and struck him with his sword. Muhammad shielded himself and Marhab's sword was stuck in the shield and he failed to pull it out. Muhammad took advantage of that and cut off both his legs and left him. Marhab begged Muhammad to kill him, but Muhammad refused. He said, "I won't. I want you to taste death like my brother did yesterday." And he walked away. Later on, Ali passed by Marhab and finished him off. When Marhab was killed, his brother Yasir asked for a duel. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam went to face him. Safiya, Az-Zubayr's mother and the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "My son would be killed. Sayaqtul ibni." Because Yasir and Marhab were well known. So Safiya said, "He's going to kill my son." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inshallah, your son will kill him." And he did. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened Khaybar. Their fighting men were killed, their women and children enslaved, and their wealth was appropriated. 24, the opening of Mecca. It occurred in Ramadan, the 8th year of Hijrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Mecca with an army of 10,000 with no fighting except for a few skirmishes, and it was a day of forgiveness. On that day he announced clemency for the people of Quraysh who had fought him for over 20 years. 25, Hunayn. It occurred immediately after the opening of Mecca. The leader of Hawazin, Malik ibn Auf, assembled a huge army from Hawazin, Thaqif, Nadr, Jathm, and Sa'd ibn Bakr. Rasulullah ﷺ went out to fight them. When the Muslims were passing through the valley of Hunayn, they were ambushed by the enemy. The entire Muslim army went into disarray and they fled with the exception of a small number of Sahaba who surrounded the Messenger of Allah. They started out an army of 12,000. 10,000 who opened Mecca, 2,000 new Muslims from Mecca. So the total number was 12,000. That's when they were very impressed with their numbers. They said, "لَن نُغْلَبَ الْيَوْمَ عَنْ قِلَّةٍ." We're not going to lose because of lack of numbers. These 12,000 ran away in front of the army of Hawazin. The only ones who stood behind are Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with 80 of his Sahaba. And this army of 80 is the army that defeated Hawazin. It's not the 12,000, it's the 80. And not all of them were old Muslims. Al-Abbas was a new Muslim, if we can consider him to be new, but he might have been a Muslim in Mecca for some time. Rasulullah ﷺ told his uncle Al-Abbas, who had a loud voice, to call Al-Ansar. They came from every direction and fought furiously. After a short while, the enemy was defeated. The booty was 24,000 camels, 40,000 sheep, and a large amount of silver. 26. At-Ta'if. It was during Shawwal, the 8th year of Hijrah, after the defeat of Taqif, during the Battle of Hunain, they went back to their town, At-Ta'if, and closed its gates. Rasulullah ﷺ followed them and camped close by, laying a severe siege on them. The people of Taqif attacked the Muslims with a shower of arrows. When it became apparent that Taqif won't fall easily, Rasulullah ﷺ sought counsel from his Sahaba. Nawfal said, Thaqif are like a fox in a hole. If you stay at it, you will get it. And if you leave it, it won't harm you. So Rasulullah ﷺ decided to leave. In that shower of arrows, one of those arrows hit Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr. But it didn't kill him instantaneously. He only died when his father was Khalifa. When the delegation of At-Ta'if, who were already Muslim, came to meet the Khalifa Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr pulled out that arrow, the arrow that killed his son Abdullah, and he showed it to the delegation. He said, does any of you know who this arrow belongs to? So one of them held the arrow and said, this arrow belongs to me. I sharpened it, and I'm the one who fired it. Abu Bakr said, that is the arrow that killed my son. So the man said, Alhamdulillah, who gave your son martyrdom through me, and Alhamdulillah, who guided me after that to Islam. Number 27, Tabuk. Occurred in Rajab, the 9th of Hijrah. This was the last army Rasulullah ﷺ participates in. The Messenger of Allah marched into Roman territory where when he heard that they are gathering an army to attack Medina. The Muslims made their move in a very difficult time. It was a year of drought and poverty. It was right before the time of harvest, and it was during hot season. The hypocrites stayed behind and their hypocrisy was exposed in Surah At-Tawbah. The Muslims assembled an army of 30,000 strong, the largest army ever assembled by the Messenger of Allah. Due to poverty, some Sahaba came to the Messenger of Allah urging him to supply them in order for them to join the army. When he told them that he has no finances for them, they left with tears flowing from their eyes for not being able to join the army. The Roman Emperor was stationed in Homs at the time in order to prepare for war. He assembled an army of Romans and Christian Arabs. When they heard of the Muslim army, they decided not to fight. Rasulullah ﷺ waited in Tabuk for 10 days. When the Romans did not show up, he returned to Medina after he established his presence in the lower parts of Sham and northern Arabia. If you look at the number of battles that Rasulullah ﷺ fought and you divide them by the years he spent in Medina, it comes out to about 2 to 3 battles a year. That's a lot. Tayyib, inshallah, I think we'll end with that, and next week we'll start talking about the Saraya. We'll talk about the Saraya. Any questions? Otherwise, we'll take a cookie break. Yes? Yeah? Yeah. No. Because of what he did to the Muslims. Yeah. This happened in the Harub of Ar-Riddah. The Muslims, this was with Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami. Al-Ala ibn al-Hadrami was one of the awliya of Allah. Many karamat happened to them. He was in the time of Abu Bakr. He is the one who walked over water. And he is the one who made dua when their camels were lost and the camels just came peacefully back. And when they were in a land that had many scorpions and spiders and snakes, he made an announcement. He said, we are the messengers of the Messenger of Allah. And they all left. See, he was a man of karamat. Al-Ala ibn Hadrami, he camped next to the enemy. So at night he was hearing these loud voices. He told one of his men to go and spy on them. He said, they're drunk. He said, let's make our move. They attacked at night. So one of them, one of their leaders, he ran out of his tent and he jumped over his horse, but the stirrup of the horse, you know, where you put your feet, it fell down or something, or it broke. So he said, "Man yuslihu li rikabi?" Who will fix it for me? So one of the Muslims was next to him and said, "I will fix it for you." He said, "Lift up your leg. Lift your leg so that you could fix it. Lift your leg." So he lifted his leg, he chopped it. He cut off his leg. He said, I could hear the sound of the sword on the bone. Just cut it. So the man fell off his horse. So he told the Muslim to come and kill him. He said, "I'm going to leave you the way you are." So he left. And whenever one of the Muslim soldiers would pass next to him, he would say, "Please kill me. Please kill me." And they would all leave him. Until one of the Muslims passed next to him, he said, "Please kill me." He said, "All right, fine, I'll kill you." He killed him. And then he said, "When I saw his leg laying next to him, I regretted that I killed him." He didn't know that he was bleeding. Yeah, so this does happen. It does happen in battle, yani. But this is the, you see, with the sharpening the sword, that's for execution. See, execution is different. Execution should be done in the most compassionate way. Unless, again, these specific people need to be brutally killed. But in battle, that's different.